We'll be here all week, and so you can see what we have there, and maybe some of that will be a blessing to you. I hope so. I'm going to give the pictures away, as we always do on Thursday night. So remember, your visitors count every time they come, so you bring a person this morning, and then every time that person comes, like tonight or Thursday, they're going to count another point. Add up all your points, and then we'll give those away on Thursday night, okay? And we'll be with the school, as the pastor said, we'll be with the school every day this week for their chapel. 10 o'clock in the morning will be the chapel. We'll go about an hour. It generally goes about 1 hour or so. Kids are so eager to get back in their classes, we can't keep them too long, you know. And so I got my amen corner right down here, see? That's my amen corner right there. Cheryl, you sing for us, and then we'll get into the message in Isaiah 9 and verse 2. Okay, Isaiah 9, verse 2. Here's a great verse in Scripture. Isaiah 9, 2. The Bible says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath a light shine." Now, I go to several churches that are named Lighthouse. That's a good name for a church. There's lots of good names for churches. That's just one of them. But now we know that Jesus is the true light. In John 1, John was called to preach the coming of the true light that lights the heart of man. But Jesus gave us some insight into who would be used to broadcast or reflect his pure light, and that light to all the world. Matthew 5, verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world." And so we are to reflect the light of Jesus Christ. So ye are the light of the world. And so let's look at churches. to see whether we're being the light Jesus expects us to be. Is our light glowing dim or is it shining brightly? Is it saving souls? Is it rescuing the perishing? Well, there was an article about the lighthouse offshore in North Carolina near the Outer Banks of the Continental Shelf. And that part of the ocean there, that just off Cape Hatteras, that's one of the most dangerous bodies of water in the world. And the problem is a 14-mile long sandbar that keeps shifting back and forth. Never really know where it's going to be. And that's called Diamond Shoals. The sandbar is called Diamond Shoals. And for the past 400 years, that's been a difficult place to navigate. That's a ship's graveyard there. Many ships have hit that sandbar, and especially in stormy weather at night, hit that sandbar. It lies just beneath the water, and difficult to see. Very treacherous part of the Atlantic Ocean. No wonder it's called the graveyard of the Atlantic. And the United States government constructed a lighthouse on Cape Hatteras in 1870. It's the biggest lighthouse in the United States, 208 foot tall. That's equal to about 12 stories, 48 inches thick, 4 foot thick. A staircase, steel staircase, goes up that lighthouse 248 steps. And it's the only one in the world, it's the only lighthouse in the world with black and white candy stripes is the way it's painted. There's other lighthouses that are black and white, but none that are candy striped like this. And so it was built. And what's its purpose? It was built to save lives and to save property. And when you think about it, churches are the same way. They have the same purpose. And the world is a dark and dangerous place. And people are sailing through life in very dangerous waters. And the devil's always trying to throw obstacles in our way and impede our progress and send us on the rocks and so forth, and wreck our little boats in life's sea. Have you ever been cruising through life and thinking you're on top of the world and everything's just going great and everything's going wonderful, and suddenly hit a snag? It might be sickness, it might be a loss of a job, it might be a financial tragedy, so one thing or another. And all of a sudden everything's changed. I mean, it's changed overnight. We just got word of a missionary friend just yesterday. And I'm telling you what, the things that he's going through are just terrible, all at one time. Within 2 weeks, his life was in shatters. Tatters. Shattered because of life's experiences. And that can happen to any one of us. It's just the way, life is. And they're shifting sandbars. And the devil wants to steal our victory, doesn't he? Well, thank God there's a lighthouse in this dark old world, and God's put a lighthouse in the darkness that projects a light onto the seas. All biblical churches have the same purpose, to save souls being destroyed on the rocks of sin. I'm concerned that churches in general have forgotten their mission. In the time that we're living, churches in general have forgotten their mission. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light." So if the light is to continue to shine and do its job, there has to be a lighthouse keeper. And what is the late housekeeper to do? His whole purpose. His whole purpose is to keep the light burning at all costs. He had to constantly clean and maintain and repair the light. And if the flame burned low, or if the lens and mirrors were dirty, or the wick of an old oil burner needed trimming, he had to work, because the lives of others depended upon him performing his duties. The first lightkeeper of the lighthouse at Cape Hatteras was named Adam Gaskins. In 1870, Adam Gaskins became the first lightkeeper of the lighthouse in off Cape Hatteras. He was on duty 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and he made $333 a year. Less than a dollar a day. But of course, a dollar would go a lot further than it would today. But he had a place to live, and he had less than a dollar a day to live on. And his sole responsibility, was to do his hard work and those who followed him and keep that light burning. The light burned for 129 years. It burned 47,000 nights without missing a night. He and the light keepers that came after him were called keepers of the flame. Keepers of the flame. It was their job to keep that lighthouse burning at all costs. Now, my friend, if you're saved, you're a keeper of the flame. If you're saved, now if you're not saved, you need to get saved. And after you get saved, then you become a keeper of the flame. And keep the lighthouse burning, and keep the message going, and keep those ships at sea warned, and warn them away from the sandbars so they'll not sink and be lost. And so as this old world grows darker and gets ever closer to the shore of eternal judgment, there's a greater need of light of the gospel to shine. There are souls in the balance, who will sink into hell if we don't let our light shine. Who's going to warn them if we do not warn them? Do you think the people who are lost are going to warn them? Do you think the people who have never opened the Bible in their life are going to warn them? Who's going to warn them if we don't warn them? Most of the church world will moan about how sinful the conditions are in the world, but where's their light? There came a time when the Cape Hatteras lighthouse was in danger. The constant wave action of the sea had eroded the shore until many feared the lighthouse would collapse into the water. The shoreline over the 129 years had constantly came further in to the shore. The shoreline actually moved. And beginning, the shoreline was about 150 feet beyond the lighthouse, but it had came right up to the lighthouse itself over the years and weakened the foundation of the lighthouse. And so the decision was made, we're going to have to move this lighthouse. And they were going to move it 2,900 feet southwest and 1,600 feet inland. And in 1999, it was in the news and that they were going to move the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse, and the International Chimney Corporation of Brooklyn, New York was chosen to move this lighthouse. Their slogan was, if you can build it, we can move it, if you have enough money. And so the government ponied up $2.5 million in 1999, and they jacked it up, and they built a railroad from the lighthouse to wherever they were going to move the lighthouse. Hundreds of people came from all around. They heard this lighthouse was going to be moved, and they even camped out. They camped out so they could watch this lighthouse being moved. And so they jacked the thing up and got it up on the railroad. And the first day they moved it about 24 inches. It's kind of like watching paint dry. And so most of the people who came there thought that this thing was going to be so exciting. They packed up and went home. It wasn't as exciting as they thought it was going to be. So when they moved the lighthouse, something happened, however, and that was it changed its purpose. And so, I'm afraid the churches in general have forgotten their purpose. They've changed their purpose. We've come to believe that it's our purpose and mission to supply all the emotional and the physical and material needs of all mankind. That's not our purpose at all. That's not our reason for existing at all. Our purpose and mission is not giving shelter to the homeless. Although that's a needy thing. Someone needs to do that. That's good. That's a good work. But it's not the mission of the church. Or improving conditions in third world countries. Or counseling dysfunctional families. Is there anyone who's not dysfunctional today? That's the question. Or working to correct abuse. That's a good work. That's a good work. But it's not the mission of the church. Or saving the rainforest. Or saving the whales. Or having fellowship with one another. That's good to have fellowship with one another, but that's not the mission of the church. That's not the mission of the church. Or to have praise and worship. It's good to have praise and worship, but that's not the mission of the church. It's to shine the light. It's to shine the light, the gospel light. It's to shine the light of Jesus Christ. That's the mission of the church. Jesus taught the soul is more important than the body. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8, the Bible says, For bodily exercise profit little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Now ask yourself, who's better off? The rich man in hell or the poor man Lazarus in heaven? A biblical church is charged with sending out the light and to rescue the perishing. And that's done through sending missionaries and preaching the gospel. We rescue the perishing by throwing them the real life preserver. The only one that matters and the only one that can save them is the life preserver of Jesus Christ. So now the lighthouse of Cape Hatteras has lost its purpose. It's no longer shining its light out to sea in order to save ships. Now it's become a museum. It's a place where there's a public park where people come and admire and enjoy the park, and they learn from the lighthouse, but it doesn't save anyone anymore. It's just a museum. Churches used to be life-changing stations, but how many of them have lost their purpose in life and in this world now? Churches have become just museums. People went from being saved and to not being saved because the light's not shining. The congregation only comes to have their conscience smoothed over and to be entertained, many churches today. All up and down the East Coast, there are yacht clubs. And almost every town, they have a yacht club of some kind. And yacht clubs were originally designed to rescue sailors at sea whenever they were in trouble. All that's been forgotten now. Yacht clubs today are just social clubs. And their real mission, real mission has been lost and forgotten. Even though they've moved the lighthouse at Cape Hatteras, the original problem still exists. Diamond Shoals is still a shifting sandbar, even though now they don't need the lighthouses anymore. That's all been taken over by GPS, navigational systems. But it's still called the graveyard of the Atlantic. Still a dangerous place even with that. And so friend, you can't afford, and I can't afford, to let the gospel light die. Shine forth the light of Jesus Christ. Tell others how to be saved. Tell them the only way to be saved is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our mission. That's our number one mission. And if we're not doing it, our light has grown dim. And then it'll grow out. So we're the only hope they have. Lost and dying world. Who else is going to tell them? No one. No one but us. I'm going to draw here for you, the lighthouse. I'm going to draw that for you right now. Let's have all the lights out, and I'll turn mine over here.
Thank you.
Let's all stand together, every head bowed. How about you, friend? Are you saved? If not, you can be. I trust in Christ as Savior this morning. With every head bowed, no one looking around, whether you be a man or a woman or a boy or a girl, young person, whoever you are, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, would you just raise your hand and say, "Preacher, include me in your prayer today. I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity." You might already be a member of a church. You might have been baptized, but you've never been born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, "You must be born again." Is someone like that this morning? Just lift up your hand real high. Put it right back down. Father, we're grateful for your goodness and your mercy to us. We pray you'd help us to be a lighthouse, keepers of the flame. Help us to guard the flame so it'll never go out. Do the heavy work that's necessary to keep it going. And God, I pray that you'd save the lost, encourage Christians, and we'll give thee the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing "Just As I Am" as we sing that song. Maybe you'd like to just come down and pray. Perhaps you need to join this church, whatever your need. You're welcome to come as we sing "Just As I Am" without one plea. Come on. Just as I am without one plea. Oh, shed for me. Come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Pastor.
Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world and that the Bible is the light of God also. And I pray you'd help us to be faithful to your words and help us to love thee more. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we are dismissed. Maybe we should have "Let There Be Light." Turn the lights on.